Morning. Before I preach, I can't not say something about this. Have you received your newsletter in the mail? The article, What Does the Bible Say About Government? That's what it was supposed to say, but it actually says, What Does the Bible Say About Hell? I don't know how in the world that happened. But take time to read that. It was written with the thought of, you know, government has just changed over, and just a good article there about our response to the government, but not to hell, okay? Our theme, you have been seeing that for the last several weeks. All of us, all in, all the time. And what I plan to do over these first few months is to focus on some people from the New Testament that were all in with Jesus. Or as in today's sermon, Mary was all in with the plan of God. Now, you may think this morning as you came in, you picked up a bulletin and you see a manger scene on the front of the bulletin. And the sermon today is about Mary. And you may think, this guy's losing it. Because usually when you have a sermon on Mary, it's over Christmas time. And here we are, 6 weeks at least past Christmas, and we're having a sermon on Mary. Now, if you ask my wife, she would say, I'm kind of loony like that a lot of the time. But we'll not dwell on that thought. But I do hope today that you will be inspired by Mary as I have been in preparing this message. I want to read to you from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 29. If you have your Bibles, you might want to turn there and follow along with me, or you can follow along on the screen. Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 26. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept wondering what kind of salutation this was. Now, I'm sure if you received an angelic visitor, you too would be perplexed, just as Mary was. The word perplexed means to be agitated greatly. Now, that doesn't mean that Mary was mad. It simply means that she was shaken to the core. It scared her. It troubled her greatly. And the angel sensed her alarm, and he then said to her in verse 30, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." And this is one of the 365 times in the Bible that God tells us not to be afraid. One time for every day of the year, he tells us to not be afraid. The angel wanted to calm Mary's fear so that she could hear what he had to say to her. He said, "You have found favor with God." In other words, Mary, God has chosen you to be a recipient of his grace. That's what the word favor means. Might I remind you that the word grace means undeserved gift. It's not that Mary earned this favor because she was without sin. No, Mary was a sinner too, just like you and me. There's only one that lived without sin, and that would be the one whom she would carry in her womb. But no doubt, Mary was a very special person for God to choose her for this special assignment. And I want to read to you the rest of the story, and then we'll take a closer look at Mary. Let's look at verse 31 of Luke chapter 1. We'll read through verse 38. And behold, this is the angel speaking to her. He says, behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I am a virgin? The angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and for that reason the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was barren, who was called barren, is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. I want to give to you three reasons why I say to you that Mary was all in with God's plan. And the first reason would be this: she was submissive to God. Now, can you imagine the shock this was to Mary? First of all, the shock of an angelic visitor, and then the shock of the message that he brought to her. You're going to have a baby, Mary. And she knew for a fact that she had never been with a man. Oh, and by the way, Mary, the Holy Spirit is going to cause this to happen, and this baby that you're going to carry is going to be the Son of God. To say that that was a shock to Mary would be an understatement, and yet we cannot miss the response of Mary to the angel. She said, behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word. The NIV translates that verse this way: I am the Lord's servant, may your word to me be fulfilled. Now that is a submissive spirit to God. And I want to challenge you that that is the kind of spirit that you and I need to have to God. If we want to be all in with Jesus, if we want to be all in with the plan of God, we need to have a submissive spirit to Him. Now think with me for a moment of some of the heroes of the faith of the Old Testament. Each one of them had this same submissive spirit to God's plan. Take, for instance, Noah. God comes to Noah and he says, Noah, I want you to build an ark. And what was Noah's response? Okay, whatever you want me to do, God, that's what I will do. And so Noah goes to work on building this huge boat. And it takes him 120 years to complete this job. And all the while, people are laughing at him and making fun of him. He was the joke around everyone's dinner table. And why wouldn't he be? He was building this monstrosity of a boat on dry land. Can you just hear the people as they ridicule him? Hey, crazy Noah. What are you doing, crazy Noah? How are you going to float that boat? And yet all through that time, Noah was submissive to God's plan. Abraham is another one that submitted to God's plan. God instructed him to pack up all of his belongings and move his family to a land that he would be shown. And he's leaving, keep in mind, he's leaving his homeland. He's leaving behind his relatives. Now, he did take his dad with him, but all of his other relatives he leaves behind, his cousins, his nephews and nieces and his aunts and uncles, his siblings. He's leaving them all behind. And this is where he has grown up. And the same could be said about his wife, Sarah. She's leaving. He's asking her to leave behind all of her family and all of her roots, where those roots have been. He says, we're gonna go. We're gonna go where God tells us to. And where is that, Abraham? I don't know. We'll just see. Wherever he takes us, that's where we will go. You talk about a submissive spirit. And you know how that story unfolds. He and Sarah have a son in their old age, and God tells Abram to sacrifice his son, Isaac, on the altar. And what was Abraham's response? He obeyed. I mean, he took Isaac, his son, to Mount Moriah, and they built an altar, and he laid his son on the altar, and he went so far as to raise the knife to slay his own son. And it was at that point that God stopped him and said to him, "Now I know, Abraham, that you trust me and that your faith is strong." And God provided the lamb in place of his son Isaac. No wonder these are two people listed in Hebrews chapter 11, which we call the Hall of Faith heroes. They had a faith that was willing to submit to God. They were willing to do whatever God told them to do. Now, don't have in your mind that I'm saying to you these were perfect people. They were not perfect people. They had sin in their own lives too. And the scripture's very, very upfront about that. But they had a spirit that was submissive to God's plan. And that is what we should be striving for if we want to be all in with God. If he tells us to repent and to be baptized, that's what we should be willing to do. If he tells us to tithe of our income, if he teaches that to us through the scripture and by example, and Jesus commends it, if that's the lesson that is being taught to us, then we should be willing to submit to what God is telling us to do. If he's telling us to forgive our offender, we should be willing to do that, because that's what he tells us to do. It doesn't matter how offensive that person has been to us. It doesn't matter that person has mistreated us. It just simply matters that he tells us that we need to forgive. If he tells us to turn the other cheek, if he tells us to walk the second mile, if he tells us to love our neighbor, if he tells us to share the good news with those around us, these are things that we do because he's the boss and we are not. He's the creator and we are the created. And plus, we know that his plan is always better than our plan. Mary, we know she was all in with God's plan, because she had a submissive spirit to God's direction in her life. Let me give to you a second reason that we would say Mary was all in with God's plan. She entrusted herself to him even when she didn't have everything figured out. Do you think as a young teenage girl she had all of this clear in her mind? Certainly not. I mean, what was it going to be like to be the mother of the Son of God? how was all this going to happen, knowing that she had never been with a man? And what was Joseph's response going to be to all of this? And what about her parents? How would they react? And what about the neighbors? What were they going to say? And what were they going to think? And Mary was so young. What did she know about motherhood? I'm sure Mary had more questions than what she had answers at this point, and yet she was willing to entrust herself completely to the plan of God. She said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." Has God ever called you to a task that you weren't quite exactly sure of how you were going to get that task completed? And so really it just boiled down to just saying yes to him and trusting him to get you through. Isn't that right? I remember when I lost my job in Fort Scott, my prayer the next morning was basically this: God, I know that you have a plan. I don't know what that plan is, but I want to hang on to you, and I know this could be the greatest time of growth in my life. And you know what? That's what it turned out to be. Exactly that. And I didn't have it all figured out. I didn't know there was a church 25 miles away that I was going to be called to and to come and be the pastor at that church. But I knew that there was one who had it all figured out. He had it all figured out, and it wasn't too complicated for him. That's just the way he is. We don't necessarily know his plan and how it's all going to work out detail by detail, but he has it all figured out. I was talking with someone recently who was wondering how in the world she and her siblings were going to be able to take care of their aging parent. And Cindy's family is reaching that point too. And so we're dealing with that same thought, that same question. Her mom is 93, and her health issues are continuing to become more and more complicated. And how much longer can she live on her own is a question that really we don't have the answer to. And basically, it's let's just trust God. Let's hold on to him, because he's the one who is in control, and he will lead us down that path as we go. Life can really throw some curves to us, can it? But hear me say this: if Jesus is our Alpha and Omega, then everything in between, no matter how chaotic or how complicated it becomes, he will get us through it. Do you hear that? If Jesus is our Alpha and Omega, if Jesus is first in our life, and we're dedicated to having him as Lord of our life all the way through, then whatever's in the middle, he's going to get us through it. We may not know how he will get us through it, but if we trust him and hang on to him, he will get us through. He's not going to abandon us. He is faithful. He always has been. He always will be. We just hang on to him. Check this out on the screen. According to research at Cambridge University, it doesn't matter in what order the letters in a word are. The only important thing is that the first and last letter be at the right place. The rest can be a total mess, and you can still read it without a problem. This is because the human mind does not read every letter by itself, but the word as a whole. That paragraph's a mess, isn't it? And for those who are listening online or the radio, they're not going to know what in the world I'm talking about. But you see it on the screen, and you see what's going on there, and you realize the truth of this. If the first letter is in the right place and the last letter is in the right place, even though the middle of the word is a mess, you can still figure it out. And that's why I say to you, if Jesus is your Alpha and Omega, it doesn't matter what curveball is thrown your way, He's going to get you through it. The mess in the middle, He will get you through it. For Mary, her mess was an unexpected pregnancy. From the Holy Spirit, mind you. And she trusted God to be big enough to carry her through that. She didn't have everything figured out, but she knew He had it figured out. And so what did she do? She says, I'm yours, God. I'm trusting you. I trust that you'll get me through it. And for you and me, it's going to be something different than what Mary went through. Maybe it will be the question of aging parents. Maybe it will be a prodigal child, or a lost job, or a diagnosis of cancer, or the death of a loved one, or what career should I pursue? Or, you know, I really didn't expect to be single at this age in my life. I mean, it's life is full of curveballs. Life is full of messes that are beyond our understanding. But if we have Jesus as our Alpha and Omega, then He will get us through the mess. Do you believe that? Amen. Hope you do. I'll give you one other reason why I would say to you that Mary was all in with God's plan. Number three, she knew she wasn't signing up for a comfortable and easy life. But she signed up anyway, because God was calling her to this. Can you imagine how that conversation with Joseph went? Think about it. Put yourself in Mary's shoes. The conversation with Joseph that I'm pregnant, but I've never been with a man. Oh my. And what about the conversation with her mom and dad? And what about the looks from the neighbors? And the words whispered from her peers? You know she went through all of that. It was not an easy thing for her. And yet she signed up knowing that's how it would be. I mean, Mary, how was it raising the Son of God as your own son? Mary, how did it feel making soup for the kid who made everything that went into the soup? How did it feel teaching scripture to the one who spoke the words into existence? Mary, did you ever tell Jesus the story of creation? And I wonder if as you talked to Him and told Him that story, did He have a piece of clay in His hands? Mary, did you ever wonder when you lost your patience with the other kids what your firstborn would have to go through to save you from your sin? Huh. Wow. You see, Mary Mary didn't sign up for a rose garden. She didn't sign up for a comfortable ride. And it wasn't going to get any more comfortable for her as life went on, because Simeon's words, you may remember, spoke of a sword that would pierce her heart. You remember that? On day 8, as she took him to the temple to dedicate him, for him to be circumcised. And as she gets to the temple, there's an old man there, Simeon, and he prophesies over the child, and he says, a sword will pierce your heart over this child. She didn't sign up for a comfort and an easy life, but she signed up anyway. She said, I am the Lord's servant. Be it done to me according to your word. And listen, listen, brothers and sisters, God has not called us either to a life of comfort. But whatever comes our way, we can be confident that nothing is impossible with God, and He will be with us to the very end. Mary was all in with God's plan. And I hope too that as we are heading down this road of this theme for 2025, I hope that you will have as a prayer, Lord, I want to be all in with you. I want to be all in with you. I want to close with a picture that I recently ran across. This picture is called Mary Consoles Eve. And you notice Eve on the left, she's very sad. And she has in her hand the forbidden fruit that she's already taken a bite out of. And that's what sin will do to us. It saddens us. It hurts us. It wrecks our life. And yet Eve is giving her a hand of comfort, and you notice where her left arm is, her left hand is on her stomach where there's a baby that she's going to give birth to. And really, it's the baby inside of Eve that is the answer to all of sin's problems. And you notice the snake slithering at the bottom of their feet. And Mary's foot is on the head of the serpent. And really, it's the baby inside of her that will crush the head of the serpent, according to Genesis chapter 3:15. It's not Mary that will crush the head of the serpent, but it's the baby that she is carrying inside of her womb. He will crush the head of the serpent. And whatever problem we go through in life, whatever hardship, whatever difficulty, Satan would love to use that to destroy us. But there is one who has his foot on Satan's head. In fact, it's already been crushed by what happened on the cross. And there is victory in Jesus. He's the answer to all the woes that sin brings into this world. My question to each of us is, are we all in with Him? Hope so. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for Mary. It's hard for us to even imagine what she went through. The challenge that she had, and yet she took that challenge knowing that the strength would come from above rather than from within. And so help us to know that too. Whatever challenger is laying before us, whatever heartache, whatever diagnosis, whatever curve is thrown to us, that we have a God who is with us all the way, and He is able to deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's stand together, please.